Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Zion and Erevin. And we are in the bottom of Vava Amud Beis. And yesterday we finished discussing the following scenario. We talked about how to fix a mavui mefulash. You have a mavui that opens up from one end to the other. One opens to Rishos HaRabim, the other one opens to Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara yesterday quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa presented to us three opinions in terms of what exactly is the proper rectification of a mavui mefulash. The first opinion in the Braisa was out of the Tanakama, and Tanakama says that you got to put a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and you got to put a Lechi Kara on the other side. Tzuras HaPesach basically closes off one of the sides, halachically, not physically, and the other side now you have a Mavui Sasam, and so now with a Mavui Sasam, so you fix it the way you normally would fix a Mavui Sasam, which is a Lechi or a Kara. Then the Gemara presented the position of Rabbi Hananya, and Hananya quoted both Beit Sham and Beis Hillel, and we just focus on Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, oh, is the Dallas Mekan Balachi Vikar Mekan? No, in order to close up the Mavui Mefulash, you have to make a physical door. It's got to be a Dallas. The Gemara had a question yesterday's daf whether or not the Dallas need to be closed, or can it? Does it have to be closed and locked? Can it be opened to a certain degree? But it has to have a physical door on one side, and then with a physical door on one side, now it's a closed Mavui, it's Mavui Sasam, and then you go to the other side and you put a Lachi Vikar on the other side. Okay, so that is the basic machlokus that we saw on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis presents a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in terms of who exactly do we paskin like. So the Gemara quoted Rav is saying that we go like, Rav paskins like the Tanakama, and Shmuel says a halacha is like Hananya. So that means that according to Rav, you got to put a Tzuras HaPesach. So Rav is Mekel. And Shmuel says, no, halacha is like Hananya, which means that it has to be an actual physical door. Okay. That was the first issue that we saw yesterday. The other issue that we saw yesterday was a Mavui Akum, the Mavui that was on the bend. So it was a Mavui that made a 90-degree turn. Both ends of it opened up into a Rishos HaRabim. So how do we view this? So you remember yesterday we talked basically, again, a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Do I view it as one Mavui with a turn? Or do I view it as two separate mavuis? Makes a big difference. If it's one mavui with a turn, so it's mavui mefulash, meaning one end goes out to Rishos HaRabim, the other end goes out to Rishos HaRabim, so then it's a mavui mefulash. If I view it, however, as two separate mavuis, so then no. In other words, it's going to be one mavui going in. What about the fact that there's another egress out of that mavui? That's a pesach. That's just simply another exit to the mavui. But the mavui fundamentally has three walls. A wall in the back, a wall in the bottom. It basically has three walls, and with a Pesach at the end of it. And so, once again, how do we view it? And this also turned into a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. This was back on Vav Amud Aleph, and Rav is machmer. He says it's a mavui mefulash. It's one mavui with a right hand turn, and Shmuel says no, it's a mavui sasam. Okay. And then that brought us to the following scenario. If you look behind me, you remember yesterday's daf, we had a U-shaped mavui. So here it made two 90-degree turns. So it comes out that you ended up making a U-turn. You went into the mavui, you can make a right, you can make a right, or the other way, you can make a left and make a left, and come out into the same Rishos HaRabim. The bottom over here is the Rishos HaRabim. So what did they do with such a mavui? So this is what we saw yesterday. So let's go back to the Gemara inside. Let's start again from this exact point. Ahu Mavui Akum. It's on Vav Amud Beis. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the fourth line before the lines become wide. Ahu Mavui Akum. The Gemara quotes, there was this bent Mavui Dahava Ben Nahada in the town of Nahada. Rami Alei Chumra DeRav VeChumra DeShmuel. So now what did they do? They imposed two Chumras. Rav's Chumra and Shmuel's Chumra. That's Rechu DeLasos. And they require doorways. So now in the picture that I drew above my head, so I have in the two corners and the two breaks of the Mavui, I have a Tzuras HaPesach. Okay? No, the Gemara says that's not correct, but rather a Dallas on both of those bends. Chumra DeRav Damar Torah has to come a foolish. So number one, we go like Rav, which is, first of all, fundamentally, how do we look at it? We look at it as a Mavui Mefulash. It opens up at both ends at Rishos HaRabim. Therefore, a Lechin Kara is not going to suffice. You have to put doors. And Rashi describes that the doors go on the corners, on the breaks over there. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you asked Rav what you should do, Rav would say, look, I think it's a mavui mefulash, but if I were Rav, I would do it the way I drew up on the board over there. Tzuras HaPesach, that's all you need. So the Gemara says, no, Kishmuel Dama Halacha Kechananya. So the Gemara says, halacha is like Shmuel, which is that the halacha falls like Hananya, that once you have a mavu mefulash, so then you need physical doors. The Gemara says, I don't understand that. Because if I ask Shmuel, how do I view that mavu? Shmuel would say, what do you mean? That's two mavuis. Meaning, this mavu over here is one mavu, this mavu is a second mavu. What, you don't need this. You don't need any of this. This is, in other words, let's look at this mavu. One wall, two wall, three wall. What's this? It's a Pesach. How do I view this mavu? One wall, two wall, three wall. And this is just simply a Pesach. So if I ask Shmuel what to do, Shmuel would say, it's a mavu sasum. It's a closed mavu. Lechin kor is all you need. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'tanya." Sorry, halachin v'hamar shmul tarasa katzasim kirav damar tarasa kemafulash. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to be bothered by a very fundamental question, which is, what is happening over here? Is that we are looking at the mavui, and we're looking at it from two perspectives. We're looking at it from Rav's perspective, and we're looking at it from Shmuel's perspective. And what we're doing is we're adopting the chumra of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel. And the Gemara says he can't do that because that's being inconsistent. Meaning we understand that there's machlokas throughout the Gemara, but then we understand that when we follow a particular halacha, we have to be consistent in terms of who we follow. And here, how can we adopt a chumra of one position and then a chumra of another position? The Gemara says that doesn't work. We don't do that. The Gemara says categorically, this presents a problem. The Gemara quotes a b'risa lo l'malacha k'beis hillel. So the Braisa starts off with the following statement. The halacha falls like Beis Hillel. V'arotza lasos k'divrei Beis Shammai oseh. K'divrei Beis Hillel oseh. So, but then the Braisa confuses us. And the Braisa says, well, if you want to do like Beis Shammai, okay. And if you want to do like Beis Hillel, oh, that's okay. Mikula Beis Shammai, mikula Beis Hillel. Now, if you want to follow the leniencies of Beis Shammai, the leniencies of Beis Hillel, meaning, now, you want to pick and choose. And every time Beis Shammai results in a leniency, good, we'll follow Beis Shammai. And every time Beis Hillel results in a leniency, perfect. That's my guy. So Russia, so Braisa does not mince his words. The Braisa says you are a Russia. That's very strong language. Meaning, we're talking about someone who's interested in following halacha, but just now picking and choosing is kulas. The term Russia does seem a bit strong, but I can't dance around it. The Braisa does say the word Russia. But what if you go the other way? Meaning, so now let's talk about the person who every time Beis Hillel is machmir, okay, good, I like to be machmir. And every time Beis Shammai is machmir, good, I like to be machmir as well. I like Beis Shammai. The Gemara says that's also wrong. The Braisa says, haksil b'choshech olech. According to the Pasuk in Kohelis, you're a fool. Okay, so either you're a rush or you're a fool. So obviously there's a happy medium, and the happy medium is Ella Ike Beis Shammai kukulaim v'kuchumrayim. Ike Beis Hillel kukulaim v'kuchumrayim. So either you're going to be consistently a Beis Shammai guy, or you're going to be consistently a Beis Hillel guy. Okay, period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Now, aside from the fact that the braisa lays out the very, very simple groundwork that you got to be consistent, right? And the braisas couldn't be clear about that point. The braisa, however, did confuse us because the opening statement of the braisa is, you know, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. And then the braisa talked about the person who wants to, well, how about if I fall like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? No, you're Russia. If you're only going to go Lekula, no, you're a fool. If you only go Lechumra on both. So you got to pick and choose. But how does that work with the opening statement of the braisa? The opening statement said, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara is bothered by this very question. Hagu v'kasha. Amar lo olam alach k'beis hillel. V'hada amar harot salas los k'divrei Beis Shammai oseh. Okay? So how do you understand the Braisa in its totality, including the first statement of the Braisa, where it says categorically, and oh, by the way, the halacha always falls like Beis Hillel. Lo kasha kam kodem baskol, kan la'achar baskol. So the Gemara says, we're going to see later on in our Masechta, Daf Yud Gimel, where a baskel comes out and states that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Okay. Let me just read a little bit further in the Gemara, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss some very basic issues. Ibaisim, the Gemara presents another answer. So, v'havaha la'achar baskel. Nope, both times are after the baskel. V'rabbi Yeshua, he d'lo mashkach be'baskel. And the opinion, the second opinion, the Braisa, that says you want to pick and choose, even after the baskel came out, Or Rav Yehoshua says, look, Basco, we don't follow a Basco. Ibai Zem, the Gemara presents the third answer, Hachikamar, Kol Hecha de Mishkachas, Trey Tanai Vitre Amorai, De Pliga Dadi, Kein Machlokas Becham and Bezelo, Lo Lehavi Kikula Damar, Vichikula Damar, Velo Kichome Damar, Vichikome Damar, Ella. O kikule demar u kechomre avid, o kikule demar kechomre avid. The third answer, which is really the simplest answer, is Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is just an example. Meaning, in that particular example, there's no choosing that you're going to do, because the halacha always falls like Beit Hillel. But any time you have either Tanaim or Amoraim who are arguing, and now you're going to choose, so you just got to be consistent. You can't follow the chumras of, let's say, Rav versus Shmuel. Every time Rav will be Mako, I'll follow him. Every time Shmuel becomes Mako, well, I'll follow him. No, that you can't do. You have to consistently choose either Rav or Shmuel. Okay. Let's just deal with some basic issues. The Gemara over here says, as there are three approaches to the problem. The problem is, the Braisa opens up by saying, we always follow Beis Hillel. Then the Braisa went on to discuss, what if you want to choose? Well, how can you choose? The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So the first answer the Gemara gave is, well, one is before the Baskol, and one is after the Baskol. Now, we're going to learn in about a week from now, just under a week from now, that there was an episode, Machlok Shem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and in order to come to determination of who is correct, so a Baskol came out, Baskol, a heavenly voice, comes out, and says the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And according to the first approach of our Gemara, that establishes the halacha. Okay. There is a concept which is the second approach of Lo B'Shamayimi. It's not that. In other words, the decision of halacha is for us, and it's not up to God to decide the halacha. Okay, but at least in the first approach says that the Baskol determined the halacha. So Tosfos over here is bothered by a very simple question. Take a look at the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. The Im Tomer Maishna de Lo Kaimelan Kebaskol de Rabbi Eliezer de Hazov. So we have another incident in Shas where out came a Baskol and sided like Rabbi Eliezer, and we didn't follow like Rabbi Eliezer. Tosfos here is, of course, referring to the famous Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer regarding the oven, where Rabbi Eliezer had a debate with the Chachamim over a status of an oven, whether it was Tamei, whether it was Tahor. Rabbi Eliezer took the minority position, really the singular position, to one side. The Chachamim took the position to the other side. They really fought it out. Rabbi Eliezer said, well, if I'm right, so let the river flow in a reverse direction. If I'm right, let the walls tilt over. Right, the Gemara in Bab Metzia, right, you can see on the side over here, Daft and Tess. Anyway, and then finally, out came a Baskol, and the Baskol said, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. To which the rabbi said, okay, nice, that's nice, but we disagree. So Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Here, at least in the first approach of our Gemara over here, the Gemara says that after the Baskol comes out, we exclusively follow like Beis Hillel. Done. Before the Baskol came out, there was room for choosing, selection. But once the Baskol comes out, that was done. And so how do you understand the Gemara Bava Metzia? This is Tosfos' question. V'yesh lomar, da'hasam lo yatsa ela l'chvodo. Now the Gemara says, first answer number one. Okay, a couple of interesting answers here in Tosfos. Number one suggests Tosfos. There are two different Baskols. Meaning, the Baskol that says the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that's a serious Baskol. That was a Baskol that was actually determining the halacha. Okay. The Baskol mentioned above Metzia only came out for the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. Kedemucha chasam. In fact, if you look in the context of the story over there, it sounds like the Baskol wasn't really deciding the halacha, just simply protecting the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Va'od, Tosfos goes on to give another suggestion. Da'hasam ha'isa keneged rabim, va'ator amra achari rabim lahatos. Avahacha adraba beisil havaruba, v'lohutzrucha baskol, elamishum de beishama hayuch avucharifitfei. Second answer of Tosfos is as follows. Look, we have a halachic process. It's very simple. The halachic process is, we follow the majority. Okay. Torah says it regarding a Sanhedrin, when they decide the fate of somebody who is being charged with a crime. And it's true regarding the interpretation of law. Anytime there's a question of how to interpret law, we follow the majority. So we look around the Sanhedrin, we take a vote. Okay, it's a system. It's a very simple and straightforward system. We follow the majority. Now, in terms of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Rabbi Eliezer was a minority position. Baskol is not going to sway. Baskol is not going to change the fact that the majority of the rabbis argue with Rabbi Eliezer. And Tosfos suggests the same thing is true regarding Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Hillel represented the majority. And because Beis Hillel represented the majority, so then the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. So then you got to wonder, if all that's true, I'm just saying over Tosfos now. This is not, I'm not doing anything on my own. If all this is true, so then why Baskol altogether? Meaning if we're following the systematic rules of Acharei Rabban Lahatos, if we're going off to the majority, so then what's the need for the Baskol over here to tell us that the halacha is going to fall like Beis Hillel? So Tosfos suggests, well, I might have thought, look, it's true Beis Hillel is the majority, but Beis Shammai is sharp. In other words, in terms of cognitive ability and piercing understanding of the halacha, Beis Shammai is very sharp. In fact, Tosfos says they're sharper than that of Beis Hillel. And so I might have thought that even though Acharei Rabban Lahatos, I may take the side of Beis Shammai just simply because they're a brighter group. So and that's what the Baskol is coming out to tell us. No, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Hillel just needs, I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but more support or more validation in terms of we're going to follow Beis Hillel and the majority, despite the fact that Beis Shammai is a brighter group. That's how, that's Tosfos' second suggestion. So again, it's just a very interesting discussion in terms of why the Gemara Bar Mitzvah, the Baskol came out and we totally ignored it. We're over here, at least according to one approach in the Gemara, we do listen to the Baskol, and why are we listening to the Baskol over here? And Tosfos asks this question, and Tosfos gives two suggestions. Okay. No, the halacha and the Baskol comes out and says the halacha is like Beis Hillel.
So what's the difference?
Beis Hillel meaning.
So it was the same though. It said that halacha is like the answer. So what was the difference?
So the first answer of Tosfos is that the Baskol that comes out in Bar Mitzvah was just to protect the honor of Rabbi Eliezer and not really validating his position. That's answer number one. Second answer is no. In other words, Baskol is not going to change halacha whatsoever. So why then? We always follow the majority. Why here is it different? What Beis Hillel is the majority? The mitigating factor is that Beis Shammai is a brighter group. Right? Charife Tfei. They're just smarter. Okay. That is so good. So we have so far now ironed out one issue, and that is how do you understand the first part of the Braisa with the second part of the Braisa? Good. But Mikol Makom Kasher, we're back in the Gemara, we're in Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. But now let's get to the larger issue. Now we're back at our Mavo Yakum. We're back at our Bed Mavui. Where, what do? We went like Rav and we went like Shmuel. We went like Rav to look at it as a Mavui Mefulash. And then we went like Shmuel in that, how do you fix it? Doors. What do you mean doors? Rav says Tzuras HaPesach is all you need. So why are we going like Rav's Chumrah and looking at it as a Mavui Mefulash? But then we jump over to Shmuel in terms of how to rectify it and how to correct it. How do we do that? Mikomakom kasha, Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak, Kulei Karav Avdua. So the Gemara says, answer number one. Really, we're going like Rav. In totality, the whole ruling over here follows out of Rav. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Alach Havein Morin Kain. So because, look, Rav says, what do you do if you have a Mavoim of Foolish? So Rav says, well, I'll tell you what you do. Tzuras HaPesach. That is Rav Paskin like the Tanakhama. But then, go to Rav's student, Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says, you know, it's true Rav says that Tzuras HaPesach, but you know what also Rav said? Halacha ve'ein marin kain. That's the halacha, but we don't broadcast that. Meaning, privately, I may tell you that the halacha follows like the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Publicly, halacha follows like Hananya, specifically like Beis Hillel's version of Hananya, in that you need a doorway. Okay, so that is that's our first approach. So we're not being inconsistent. We're not going like Rav and like Shmuel. We're really consistently following like Rav's position. And Rav publicly tells everybody, you have a Mavui Mefulash, you need a doorway. Well, the Rav Adabrava, Amar Rav Damar Halachu Marin Kain. The Gemara says, yeah, but not everyone agrees to Rav Huna. In fact, there are those who are of the opinion that when Rav says the Halacha falls like the Tanakama, that by a Mavui Mefulash all you need is the Tzuras HaPesach, not only does Rav say that that's the Halacha, but in fact, he tells his students, go out and tell everyone that with a mavul mafulash, source of Pesach is all you need. Halacha, umar, and kain. So, ma'ikal ha-meimar, now if that's true, and if Rav Ada Ba'ava is right, so we're back to square one. So on our mavul yakum of Naharda, so we followed like Rav's position, which is that it's mavul mafulash, and meanwhile, then we went to Shmuel's position and heard in terms of how to correct a mavul mafulash, and that is that we put doorways instead of just the Tzuras of Pesach. Amar Rav Shizbi, Kilav Din Kachomer de Beitrei, Heiched de Sasre Adade. So now the Gemara is going to give a very fundamental answer. When is it wrong to pick and choose? It's wrong to pick and choose when the two positions end up contradicting one another. It creates an inherent stira. However, and the Gemara is going to give an example. Kagon, Shezhar v'Gogolas. So here we are now, we're going to give an example where I can't pick and choose because by picking and choosing, it's going to end up that I'm contradicting myself. Okay. But the Gemara's larger point is going to be, but when I'm not contradicting myself, meaning in a one area I want to follow like this chumrah, in a totally unrelated area I want to follow like that halacha, even though in both times it's either mekel or in both times it's going to be machmir, that's okay. But if the two chumras that I'm adopting end up contradicting one another, or the two kulas I'm adopting are contradicting one another, then it's not okay. That's the larger point of the Gemara. And now the Gemara is going to give a very specific example where there's going to be an inherent contradiction. Okay, now let's get down the facts on the ground. We're talking about human remains. And we're speaking specifically about the skeletal structure of human remains. Human remains gives off tumas ohel, but only if A, you have actually flesh, kezayis of bas or meis, or B, you have the entirety of the skeletal structure of the human being. If you have just bone fragments are not going to give off tumas ohel. As we learned, we just said this a couple days ago, as we just learned, they'll give off, right, was daf hay? I was close. Daf dalet. Right, so we just talked about how bone chips gives off tumah, even if it's the size of a sa'ora, that of a barley. But in terms of giving off tumas ohel, bone chips do not give off tumas ohel. You need the entirety of the skeletal structure. Now when I say the entirety, so I don't mean every single bone, but, in other words, if you have shedra v'gulgolas, if you have the skull, and you have the vertebrae of the human remains, so that'll give off tumas ohel. If, however, the shedra is missing, or if the gulgolas, the skull, is missing, so then it's not going to give off tumas ohel. It will still give off tumas maga and tumas masa, but it will not give off tumas ohel. And the question is a very simple question. How much vertebrae needs to be missing in order to be considered deficient? How much skull needs to be missing in order to be considered deficient? So the Gemara presents this very question. It's the Mishnah Noelos. And the Mishnah says, Hashesh v'al gugol shechasru, once it's chasir, it's not giving off tumas ohel. V'kama chisaron b'shedra, b'shame armim shtei chulios, b'shilo armim chulia achas. So either two vertebrae or one vertebrae. Beishamai, two vertebrae. Beisilal, one vertebrae. Now let's think this through. Right? Make sure we have this straight. That means that according to Beisilal, once one vertebrae is missing from the column of the spine of the spinal column, so then it's chaser and it's not going to give off tumas ohel. That represents a kula or a chumra.
Kula.
All right, that's a kula. Right. In other words, just with one vertebrae missing, yes, Beis Shammai, Tumas Ohel, Beis Shammai would say yes, Tumas Ohel. Yes, Beis Hillel, Tumas Ohel, Beis Hillel said no, he'll shake you off. No more Tumas Ohel, because you're missing just simply one vertebrae. Chuli Achas, Ovil Gogolos. Now when it comes to the skull, Beis Shammai Omim Kamla Machdach, so Beis Hillel says a drill bit. Apparently back in the time of the Gemara, they had a standard drill bit. So if you have a hole in the Gogolos, that of a drill bit, so then the skull itself no longer gives off tumas ohel. And Beisola Omrim Kedeshinata Manachavi Amos. Beisola says, amount of skull where if I remove it from a live human, so the human would die. Okay, I'm not I'm not at liberty to quantify what exactly that would be, but again, I'm assuming just based on context that it's a larger shear. It's more. So again, Beis Hillel comes out to be more makel. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Chain Le'inyan Trefa. And the same thing is true regarding a Trefa, meaning the debate that we just experienced over here regarding how much vertebrae needs to be removed in order for the human remains not to give off to Masel Hel will be the same machlokus in terms of how many vertebrae need to be taken out of an animal in order for the animal to be given the label of trefa. Meaning, Beis Shammai would say, two vertebrae needs to be taken from an animal. Right? Hard to imagine the animal would survive such an excision. But two vertebrae needs to remove from the animal, now the animal is rendered a trefa. Where Beis Hillel says, no, one vertebrae removed from the animal, and the animal now is going to be considered a trefa. Now, once again, let's think this now in the world of trefa. Beis Hillel now represents a kula or a chumra. Right? Really takes a moment to think it through. Right? One vertebrae is all you need in order for the animal to be considered now a trefa. Obviously, that's a chumra. Right now, if I took, let's put it this way. If I took out one vertebrae, and I asked Beis Shammai, animal's a trefa? Beis Shammai says, no. Animal's fine. I can't speak to the prognosis of the animal, but Beis Shammai will say, the animal's not a trefa. Beis Hillel, is the animal a trefa? Yes, it is. So now let's imagine that if now I come on to two halachic questions, I feel the two halachic questions. Someone calls me up and says to me, these are two bizarre questions. But still, you understand now how this is going to be an inherent contradiction. Someone calls me up and says that here we have human remains on the floor, and there's one vertebrae missing. So I think about it and I say, that's fine. No, you're really fine. It's okay. Why? Because we have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel happens to be of the opinion that with one vertebrae that's missing, it no longer gives off to Masoha. You're fine. It's okay. You're right. Did you touch the skull? Did you touch the vertebrae? No? Okay. You're good. No to Masoha. And then I get another phone call 5 minutes later, and it says, I have an animal, and one vertebrae was removed. Is the animal trefa? Can I take it home? Can I shechta? Can I eat the animal? And I think it through and I say, no, it's okay. Go ahead. Why? Because Beis Shammai says that it's not going to be a trefa until I remove two vertebrae. So what did I just do? So I took an issue that's between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's hinging on the same exact point. What is considered a deficiency of vertebrae? And on one issue, I cited to be Mako like Beis Hillel. On another issue, I cited to be Mako like Beis Shammai. And both of them are hinging on the same exact point. That's a no-no. That you can't do. Either you consistently fall like Beis Hillel, which is one vertebrae is considered chisaron, which would result in a kula in Tumas Meis, a chumra in Hilchas Trefus, or you fall like Beis Shammai. So when the issue is hinging on one issue, then you can't pick and choose. However, if they are two different issues, so then in fact, you're allowed to pick and choose. Then when I say you're allowed, meaning right now we get on to the question of who determines the halacha, who establishes the psak halacha. So, right, we're past the point now where we get to pick and choose which amar we want to follow, meaning the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam. In other words, that already has been done, but in terms of at least fundamentally, conceptually, that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to pick chumras and kulas as long as they don't have one to do with one another. Okay.
Why would they change their mind regarding an animal versus
No, that's exactly the point of the Gemara, meaning there is no difference. If you ask Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai would be consistent, and he would say is considered deficiency. If you ask Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel would consistently say one would be considered deficiency. But then the Gemara's point is that now that you have those two opinions, you can't go like Beis Shammai like one and Beis Hillel on the other. That you can't do. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel v'chein lanas trefa avahecha. Back to the Gemara, right in the middle of the Amud. Avahecha de lo sasri hadade. But if the two positions are not contradicting one another, avdinan. So then you're allowed to do that. And essentially now, let's bring it all the way back to the beginning of today's daf. Now, essentially now, what the Gemara is saying is, let's go back to our Mavui Yakum, our Ben Mavui. So essentially, how to view the Mavui, Mavui Mefulish versus Mavui Sosim, has nothing to do, it's an interesting point the Gemara is making, has nothing to do with how to correct the Mavui Mefulish. Correction of Mavui Mefulish, Dor or Tzuras HaPesach, that's Rav versus Shmuel. But how to view the Mavui Yakum, it's a totally different issue. Whether we view it as a continuous Mavui, Mavui Mefulash, or we view it as, no, two separate Mavuis, Mavui Sosam, two different issues. So therefore, I can choose. And Nehardah, they did. So in terms of how to view it, Machmer like Rav, Mavui Mefulash. In terms of how to correct it, we're going to go like Shmuel, Blasos, you got to put actual doorways. Yeah, that's a good point. I was wondering if someone's going to raise that issue. I don't know the answer. But what Hedy's pointing out, and I'll just simply reiterate his question, is Nehardah was the town of Shmuel. So why in the town of Shmuel would they side like Rav in the question of how to view it? Okay, it's a good point. I was wondering if it was going to be raised, and okay, good, it was raised. Well, that was a question of what Rav said. Meaning, Rav says the halacha is that was the previous approach of the Gemara, which was that Rav really, even though he thinks the halacha is like the Tanakhama, but when he people ask him, he says no, put a doorway there. But that was the first approach. The second approach over here is no, Rav really feels that the halacha is like the Tanakhama, and really the source of Pesach would be enough. But here they would decide to be machmer like Shmuel. Okay. We follow in terms of what we do in Issur V'Heter, we follow like Rav. In Momenos, we follow like Shmuel. But in Shmuel's town, I'd venture to say they would follow like Shmuel consistently on all issues. Okay, V'Heicha D'Sasri Adar De Lo Avdinan. So Meisav Rav, I'm sorry, V'Heicha D'Sasri Adar De Lo Avdinan. No, I'm sorry, I was right. The Gemara now is introducing the following question. Meisav Rav Mishar Shem Aisav Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara tells the following episode regarding Rabbi Akiva. Shalikid Esrog Becha Beshvat Venagbo Beis Yisurim Echa Kedivrei Beis Shammai Echa Kedivrei Beis Hillel. Here's what happened with Rabbi Akiva. He went Esrog picking. And when did he go Esrog picking? So the first day of Shvat. Okay? And that created a serious problem. First mission, Rosh Hashanah, tells us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs of the year. Rosh Hashanah in terms of our judgment, that we know, Echa B'Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, right, we just had it 2 days ago. That's Rosh Hashanah for Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema, right, Elul, although some disagree. And then Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot, right? Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot. When is the new year, the new fiscal year for trees? Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Beit Shammai says the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Al Shvat. And Beit Hillel says the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot is Tu B'Shvat. Okay, I know we're more accustomed to Tu B'Shvat. The song for Beit Shammai would be a totally different song. It doesn't have a nice ring to it. Okay, but good. So that's a machlokas. And how does that impact halacha? Very seriously. Because once the first day of Shvat becomes the new year, according to Beit Shammai, that now turns the year, it's a new fiscal year, in terms of which Trumos and Meiser I'm going to give. Well, in terms of Trumos, it's always the same. But in terms of Meiser, years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you give Meiser Sheni. Year 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, you give Meiser Ani. And the 7th year, you understand there's no Trumos and Meiser. So now, what happened was the following. Beit Shammai took an esrog off a tree. He took it off the first day of Shvat, and now unsure. If the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, so the new year has not changed yet, meaning it's the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and so that means I have to take off Meiser Sheni. If, however, it's the halacha falls like Beis Shammai, so that means now we are into the third year of the Shemitah cycle, which means I have to take off Meiser Ani. So what did he do? He didn't know. He did both. He took off Meiser Sheni, and then he took off Meiser Ani. Okay. And the Gemara is just bothered by a very simple question. Well, how do you do that? Now you're picking and choosing, and now that you're picking and choosing, right? It's the exact same issue. Either the halacha falls like Beis Hillel or the halacha falls like Beis Shammai. So what are you doing? So the Gemara says on this. So Esrog ve'echa b'shva v'nagbo Beis Yisrael echa k'divrei Beis Shammai v'echa k'divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva gamrei istapek lei v'lo yadi Beis Hillel b'cha b'shva namor. And the Gemara gives a very interesting answer, which is Rabbi Kiva was unsure. Meaning, when he learned that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, the first Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, so he knows that there's a machlokus. He knows that there's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He also knows that one says the first of Shvat and the other says the 15th of Shvat. But here's what he did not know. He was unsure whether it was Beis Shammai who says to Beis Shvat. Or was it Beis Hillel who said Tu B'Shvat? And because he didn't know which said which, he of course knows the halachas like Beis Hillel. If somebody would clarify to him which position Beis Hillel actually said, it'd be a no-brainer. But because he didn't know which position Beis Hillel said, so then I'm going to be machmir. Not because I'm picking and choosing, simply because I don't know which one was Beis Hillel. Was he the first Ashrat or was he the 15th? Yeah. Eddie, you're killing me today. So the I don't know. You're killing me. Okay, Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei de Rav Huna. Yosef Vikamer Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Machlokas B'Sarachim Mikan B'Sarachim Mikan. Okay, and now let's return back to our issue of Mavui Mefulash. Okay, so Mavui that's opened up on two ends. And now the Gemara is going to explain right now they have to be the two ends. They're literally opening up into a Rishus HaRabim. So what's the corrective? What's the rectification of such a Mavui? So it's a Machlokas. Machlokas between the Tanakhama versus Hananya. It's a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, it's a Machlokas, what to do. But now the Gemara is going to qualify the whole debate. Meaning the entirety of the debate, and let's just quickly review. According to the Tanakhama, which is espoused by the position of Rav, you have to just simply put it Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and then Lechi V'Kora on the other side. According to the position of Hananya, Aliba de Beis Hillel, and Shmuel takes that position, you put a Dallas on one side, and you put a Lech of the Kar on the other side. Good. And who do we follow like? Well, obviously after today's daf, you should be confused. Because, I'm saying it jokingly and seriously, because we had the story in Nahada, and they followed like Shmuel, and maybe Rav also publicly holds like Shmuel, that you should put a door on one side. Okay, good. But all this now explains the Gemara is where I have a Rishus HaRabim on one side, and I have a Rishus HaRabim on the other side. Now, if the Gemara is using terms that you don't recognize, so Rashi says, go back to Shabbos, and go back to the beginning of Shabbos, because the terms Sratya and Platya, those are terms that describe actual Rishus HaRabim. Rashi over here, right in our daf, says, what's a Sratya? Derech Hiluch Mene Adam. Sratya is a street. Okay? It almost sounds the same, the two words, Sratya. You take the resh, you take the tes, and you flip it around, and you get something that's very close to street. Okay, I made that up, by the way. I don't know. I'm saying it could be correct, but who knows? I literally just made that up. And then and Platya is a Rechov Shvakim. It's like a market square. Okay, town center mall, if you will. Okay, good. So in other words, but to our point, Rishus HaRabim on one side, Rishus HaRabim on the other side. However, says Rav Yehuda Amarav, Machlokas b'Sratya Mikan, Sratya Mikan, Platya Mikan, Platya Mikan. Aval Sratya Mikan, Obika Mikan, Obika Mikan, Obika Mikan, Osetzur HaPesach Mikan, V'lech V'kor Mikan. If, however, it's not a Rishus HaRabim on both sides, if it's, let's say, now the Gemara's terminology over here is Bika, which literally means a valley. It just means that on one side, instead of a Rishus HaRabim, let's say it's a Carmelis. Now, Carmelis is a term that you should be familiar with. We went over this a number of times. A Carmelis is a rabbinically restricted area. An area that min HaTorah may in fact be a Rishus HaYachid, but the rabbi's restricted carrying into the Carmelis. Rabbi's restricted carrying in a Carmelis. Okay, it's rabbinically forbidden. If, however, I have my mavui, which is flanked on one side by a Rishus HaRabim, on the other side a Carmelis, or let's say it like this: on one side a Carmelis, on the other side a Carmelis. So for this mavui, Everyone agrees. There is no debate. Put a Tzuras HaPesach on one side. Put a Lechi and Kor on the other side. And that will be sufficient. Even Shmuel / Hananya would agree. That's all you would need to do. Okay, now the says Velech v'Kar Mikan Bika Mikan Mibaye. I'm sorry. So Bika Mikan Bika Mikan. It's the source of Pesach Mikan Velech v'Kar Mikan Hasha. Now the Gemara just is bothered by a very simple question, meaning the second point is so obvious. Meaning if it's flanked on one side by a Rishus Rabbim, on the other side by a Karmelis, and all you need to do is make it source of Pesach and Alech v'Kara. So isn't it obvious that if it's flanked on both sides by a Karmelis, that all he needs is the source of Pesach and Alech V'Kara? Hashta Strachim Mikanu Bika Mikanu Salo Source of Pesach Mikan Velech V'Kara Mikan Bika Mikanu Bika Mikan Mi Baye. What was the follow up point of the Brisa, which seems to be so obvious? I'm sorry, it's not a Brisa. It's a statement by Rav Yehuda Merav. Hachi Kamar Strachim Mikanu Bika Mikan Nase Ki Bika Mikanu Bika Mikan Umisayim Ba Mishmei De Rav Yehuda Imayamavu Ikal Larachva Inter Achlom. Okay, so the Gemara says, first of all, in terms of the understanding of the statement, all he means is that if it has a Rishus HaRabim on one side and a Karmelis on the other side, it's Ki'ilu. I have a Karmelis on one side and a Karmelis on the other side. But the point is that you don't need a Delis, you don't need a doorway, a simple source of Pesach is all you need. And then he punctuates the whole discussion with the following statement. Umisayim Ba, I'm rereading the last four lines of the Daf, of the Yamud, in the name of Rav Yehuda, that imay amavui kala larachva ain't sarach klum. What if the mavui ends up in a rachva? And so here I have a picture. That line is confusing. Let's just take that line out. Okay. And so here now I have a mavui. Here's a chatzir. Here's a chatzir. Okay, so I have a mavui. Now this mavui opens up into Rishus HaRabim. So on this side of the mavui, it's a simple Rishus HaRabim. Good. And then the mavo on the other side opens up into a chatzer. Now in this case, let's not say chatzer, let's say rachva. Basically, it's the same. In other words, it's an enclosed area. Yeah, let's take out the word chatzer. Okay? It's an enclosed area. Now, I say it's an enclosed area, but if you notice behind, there's an opening. And you open, and if you notice, that opening leads to Rishus HaRabim. Okay, but right now, let's just look at life from the perspective of the mavo. One side is opening up to Rishus HaRabim. Good. The other side is not opening up to Rishus HaRabim. It's opening up to an enclosed area. A rachva just simply means it's an enclosed area. Okay? A rachva, Rashi points out, is typically not in the front of houses. The front of a house is called the chatzer, a courtyard. It's the, right, think of those garden apartments. But the rachva is a backyard. But it's also an enclosed area. So this mavu is opening up into an enclosed area. So the point that Rav Yehuda is making is that because the Mavui is opening up now to one side to Rishus HaRabim, but the other side into an enclosed area, it's not a Mavui Mefulish. Okay. Now it's true that if I kept walking, eventually I'm going to get into Rishus HaRabim, but that's fine. Meaning, but right now, life from the Mavui is that this side is Rishus HaRabim, but this side is not. It's an enclosed area. And so what the Gemara's point is that here I need to do nothing. All I need to do, stick a little lechi right over there, or a korah over the top, and you're good. And no other correction. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, just from finishing up, Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, Hazar Rav Yehuda Dishmoli. So Abaye says, you know, I know the statement was made by Rav Yehuda, but I think correct attribution is that he didn't say it in the name of Rav, but rather he said it in the name of Shmuel. Now you remember Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda switched yeshivas. Rav Yehuda was once upon a time a student of Shmuel. Shmuel dies. Rav Yehuda then travels from Naharda to the city of Sura and becomes a student of Rav. And so Rav Yehuda ultimately has two Rebbeim in his lifetime, Shmuel and Rav. And often what happens is, and here's a perfect illustration, he makes a halachic statement and we're not sure whether he said in the name of Shmuel, whether we said in the name of Rav. Most of the time the Gemara is very clear, but in this particular scenario we're not sure. And the Gemara is basically going to say that based on other information we know that Rav made, it can't be that this statement over here behind me was Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, but rather Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Why is the Gemara so confident about that? D'i, we are now at the top of Zayin Amud Beis. D'i ha-derav kasha derav ha-derav betarte. The Gemara says, because had Rabbi Yehuda made this statement in the name of Rav, so then we would have a problem within Rav. The Amr of Yirmiyah Ba'aba Rav, because we have another statement made in the name of Rav, brought to us by a student of his, Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba, which is Mavush Nifrats Memlo Lechatzer, Venifrats Lechatzer Kenegdo, Chatzer Muteras Mavu Yasser. Here we have the following scenario. I have a mavui, which on one side is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. On the other side is open up to a chatzer. And the chatzer then in turn is open up to a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Basically, exactly what I have on the board behind me. And what did he say? I can't carry in the mavui. Meaning the mavui requires a rectification. Oh, by the way, you're allowed to carry in the chatzer, but you can't carry in the mavui. V'amai lehavei kamavui she'kala l'rachva. What would be the difference, instead of, in other words, all that we changed in the picture behind me, is instead of the word rachva, insert the word chatzer. But in other words, it's basically the same, and there Rav says you can't carry in the mavui. And ostensibly, why not? It's a mavui mafulash. It's a mavui that goes all the way through. Now granted, of course, you could rectify it, but fundamentally, it's a mavui mafulash. It must be, therefore, that when Rav Yehuda made the statement regarding the rachva, it was not Rav Yehuda Marav, but rather it must have been Rav Yehuda Mishmol. So Amar Le, Ana Lo Yadana Uvda. I'm sorry, Ana Lo Yadana. So he says, I don't know, meaning I'm not sure. But Uvda Hava Bedur De Reusa Mavu Shekala Rachva Hava VaAsa LaKami De Rav Yehuda VaLo Itzrichei VaLo Midi. So, but I will tell you this: there was actually a Mavui in a particular town, and again, the Mavui is basically constructed the way we're describing right now. It opened on one side, opened to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. On the other side, it opened up into an enclosed area, Rachva. And they went to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, "You're fine." The Asla comment to Rav Yehuda, "Velo itzruchu velo midi." The E kashim mishmei de Rav, tehei mishmei de Shmuel velo kashim midi. The Gemara says, "And what about the statement that you quoted on the top of the Amud, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, in the name of Rav, who says that such a marvel you cannot carry in?" So I'll tell you, okay, that doesn't bother me. Rav Yehuda, who ruled in favor of such a mavui, and said that you're allowed to carry in the mavui, Rav Yehuda is going like Shmuel and not like Rav. Okay. We'll stop over here. And so quickly, let's review. Okay, the first part of today's daf dealt with a very fundamental issue, and that is picking chumras versus picking kulas. So the Braisa says, if you're picking kulas, you're a rasha. You're picking chumras, you're a fool. But then the Gemara seriously modified exactly what was meant by that. The Gemara either... There are two basic approaches in terms of how to deal with it. The first approach is that in the case of the Mavui Akum, Rav does not really publicly feel that a Tirsa Pesach would be enough, but rather he encourages the use of a Delas in order to fix a Mavui Mefulash, so therefore there was no consistency. Or the Gemara says more fundamentally, that when in terms of picking chulas and picking chumras, that's only a serious no-no if they are sosa mine obey, if they're inherently contradictory, meaning if the issues are hinging on the same point. But if the issues are two different issues, so then, at least conceptually, you can pick your chulas, you can pick your chumras. The Gemara says, what about Rabbi Kiva and the Esrog? He didn't know. He just simply didn't know which date was Beis Hillel's date. Then the rest of today's daf, we talked about our mavui, which is, if it's open on one side Rosh Hashanah Rabim, the other side Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that's a machlokus between the Tanakam and Chananya. But if it opens up into a rachva or in an enclosed area, so the Gemara quotes the name of Yehuda, it's fine. It doesn't. It's not a mavui mafulash. It's a mavui sasam. It seems at this point in time that this was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, not Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, because Rav is of the opinion that such a mavui behind me is not a mavui sasam, but rather a mavui mefulash, and therefore it would need a serious rectification and not just a lechi v'kara. Okay, quick review of the daf. Good, we're ready for tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. If you have a picture book for tomorrow, bring it tomorrow. Lot of pictures coming up in tomorrow's daf. You can already see it on Rashi's and tomorrow's daf. Anyway, so if you have any type of visual aid, I encourage you to bring it tomorrow.